Good evening. We appreciate your prayers very much. The Lord has been talking to me, gave me these thoughts, gave some of them at home recently. And when I came here to the meeting, several of the messages were preached, and I said, well, that one preached part of my burden, and several different parts of my burden were touched on, but the burden never left. And so I appreciate your prayers this evening as I give you what the Lord's given me. I'm sorry. I'm Joseph Gellenbeck from Junction City, Kentucky. I'd like to turn to the chapter or the book of Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter. I'm going to do quite a bit of reading here, but I'd like to get a picture of what the Lord wanted to do for Israel. Therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and keep his charge and his statutes, and his judgments and his commandments always. And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children which have not known, and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his stretched out arm, and his miracles and his acts which he did in the midst of Egypt unto Pharaoh the king of Egypt, unto all his land. And what he did unto the army of Egypt, unto their horses and to their chariots, how he made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord hath destroyed them unto this day. And what he did unto you in the wilderness until you came unto this place, and what he did unto Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the son of Reuben, how the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their households and their tents and all the substance that was in their possession in the midst of all Israel. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong and go in and possess the land whither ye go to possess it. These words were spoken by Moses just prior, I think a year or two prior to them actually going in to possess the promised land that the Lord had given them. They had been wandering around in the wilderness for about 39 years, and it was because of some people. Well, it was because the camp of them, when they got to the land, decided that after all that the Lord had done for them, that they couldn't go in because the giants were too big for them, too strong for them. They sent some spies over, and they acknowledged that the land was everything that was told and more. The spies came back with a bunch of grapes that so big it took two men to carry them. I can't even imagine a bunch of grapes like that. I'd like to see the other produce that they had. And here they were griping about leeks and melons and things that they had in Egypt. And so this group of people, which we're going to read about more in a little bit, died out because of their unbelief. And then the Lord said, all right, it's time to go into the Canaan land. Moses didn't go himself, but he was giving a charge to the people of Israel, and he was telling them what the Lord had told him to give to them about what the land was. And so that's what this chapter of Deuteronomy is. It says that ye may be prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. For the land whither ye goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. This sounds like a wonderful land. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And it shall come to pass if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Then I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thy oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. He said, in another place, I'm going to give you vineyards that you didn't even plant. It's not enough for you to go into a land that has the potential to grow all these good things, but it takes money and resources to build up a place like that. He said, I'm going to take you to a place that's already built up. It's got roads in it. It's got vineyards. It's got, I'm sure it had probably some silver mines and gold mines and rock quarries, and I'm not sure what all it had. It had a lot of resources, things that they could use to prosper. It had seaports, and it had all kinds of stuff. But that's not all. It said, this is a land that the Lord thy God careth for. He's going to bless it to you and to your children. And all this is going to be yours. So let me read a little bit more. That I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thy oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house, and upon thy gates, that your days be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto them, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you. This just keeps getting better and better, doesn't it? He gave them what we would call a turnkey operation. You go in there and everything's going to be available to you. You're going to have the most prosperous land that you can imagine. A land that the Lord himself cares for. He's going to send the land at the right time. The soil is the right consistency and type for you to grow all of the good stuff. You're going to be able to export, make a profit. He's going to bless your land. Of course, you would imagine that other nations would desire a land like that too. And they already lived there. And so they're going to be all driven out. The benefit from that is that you're going to get the things they left behind and have spent centuries building up. You're going to be blessed of all nations. That's what the Lord... He held this open to them and said, this is available. This is what's available to you. He had some requirements. I want you to love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's not complicated. You know, there's a talk show host, his name is Dave Ramsey, offers financial advice, and I heard him tell someone one time, the guy was in a big mess, and he said, this is what you need to do. You need to do this with your money. And at the end he said, this is difficult, but it's not complicated. You know, serving the Lord is sometimes difficult, but it is not complicated. It doesn't require a huge intellect. It doesn't require a whole lot of understanding. It doesn't require you to find these secret codes and put them in and, oh, I didn't do it just right. It requires us, as was already mentioned, it requires our heart, and that's it. You give all you can give, and that's enough. I give all I can give, and that's enough. If there's a deficit, the Lord makes it up with anything that we try to do in life. The Lord will be with us. The Lord said, I will be with you and I will give you all this. It says, every place, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. Therefore, there shall no man be able to stand before you. I want to remember these verses right here, because they settled for far less than that. They lived in the land of Canaan, all right. They lived there for a very long time, but they never drove out all of their enemies. The Lord said that there will not be a man to stand before you. I'm going to read some other verses here. I want to read a few more, and then I want to turn to something else. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon, as he hath said unto you. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known. And so he gave them a choice, and he let them know. I want to read another scripture before we get into the burden very much. I won't even turn to it. It's in Exodus 33. He said, and I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. There are many promises in the Word of God that the Lord said, I will do this for you. I will be this for you. I will give you the power to do this. You know that pretty much every one of those is conditional. We tend to think sometimes the Lord said He would do, and if this, well, the Lord, you know what, things will happen, this will happen, that will happen. We'll say, well, the Lord's got it under control, and this is all part of His plan. I want to tell you tonight that the Lord has plans for every one of us, but we can short circuit those plans. We can do things that will cause the potential that the Lord offers us, the availability of the things that He gives us, to be cut short. There was a king. His name was Jehu. He served the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. That's what the Word of God says. He served the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. And there was a verse that said, and then in those days, the Lord began to cut Israel short. Do you know that you and I have access, direct access? We don't have to go to some sort of a mediator. We don't have to get to know a certain individual, no matter who they are, to go through to get the things that the Lord has for you and for me. The Lord has things that He will offer to us directly. And I can get down on my knees in my closet and pray, and I can contact the Lord directly through His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for my sins. And I can have all of the blessings that is available. But there's a catch. They're conditional upon, well, I'm going to show you what it's conditional upon. Let's read about Joshua and Caleb. Joshua 14. And so, I'm going to not going to do this in chronological order. They went into the land of Canaan. And after they were there, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, Joshua 14 and 6. Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses the man of God concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses the servant of the Lord sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. So he talked about what happened. The people that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But then he said, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast followed the Lord my God. I want us to just look at these promises. When he says it's going to be forever, you know that those things are also conditional. When the Lord said to David, I think it was Jehu again. He said, I'll make you and your seed reign indefinitely. But then he said, I said that I was going to do this, but I'm going to cut it off after a certain point. I'm sorry, I can't remember which king that was. But those things are conditional. I want us to keep that in mind. But we don't have to be afraid, because we have in our hands, the Lord has given us the power to get everything the Lord has for us. And so Moses swore on that day, let's see, in the 10th verse, he said, "And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. I am so impressed with the character of Caleb." He was 40 years old when he was over there. He had been there before, and evidently he had scouted out and he had seen a parcel of land, maybe a great big area. It was a mountain. And he said, "If I come back, or when I come back, this is what I want for my inheritance." And Moses said, "This will be yours." And so then he had to wait along with the others. But what faith he had. And when he came back, I don't know what he was but you know that people do age. And he was 40 when he saw it the first time. He was 85 when he saw it the second time. But he said, "Yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that city how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were grave and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord has said." He recognized that the Lord had to be with him for him to be able. And I wonder if he really wasn't physically as strong as he was. Maybe he was. But I wonder if his eyes of faith said, "You know what? The Lord promised this to me, and I'm just as strong now as I was then, because whatever deficit I have, the Lord's able to make it up. I may be older. I've broken a couple ribs when I slipped and fell a couple years ago, and my back is kind of hurting me, but the Lord promised me this, and it doesn't matter that I don't feel quite as good now as I did then. I can still take it because the Lord promised this to me. This is what's available to me, and I want this." He could have said, "You know what? I'm 85 years old. I don't know how much longer I'm going to live. I'm here in Canaan. This is where I want to die. And so I just want this little piece of land." But no, he said, "This is what I've set my heart on. This is what the Lord promised me. This is what my inheritance is. I'm not looking at the external. I'm not looking at the fact that I'm 45 years older. I am 45 years older, but give me the mountain, because the Lord is going to be with me and we're going to take it." So, and we know what the Lord said about Joshua and Caleb. He said, surely, in Numbers 32, we won't turn there, but Numbers 32 and 11, "Surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord." Now, before I say much more, I want to read one more. And it's in Judges. And we're going to spend quite a bit of time here. Judges, the second chapter. Joshua and Caleb, it said they wholly followed the Lord. And that's really the only difference between them and the rest of the people. "The people served the Lord," Judges 2 and 7, "and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. This is a very challenging scripture to me. It says, the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua. They also served him all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. In the 10th verse, it says, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works he had done for Israel. I have a burden this evening that the Lord would give us a burden to be like Joshua in this, and like Caleb. Do you catch the language of this verse? It said the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, but not just all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. He had such an impact, and his vision was so keen, and his faith was so great, and the people were able to see he was a catalyst in the camp of Israel. And there were things that the Lord did. It said that they saw the works of the Lord. I want to tell you that you and I, we're going to go home after Monarch, and we're going to go back to our individual congregations. Do you know that the pastor is not necessarily the most spiritual person? He does not have to be the most spiritual person. You can be just as spiritual. You can get blessings and great benefits. I have in my house, I used to burn wood to heat my house. And sometimes I would not get my wood cut early enough or in the year, and I would have to burn part of it green. And sometimes I wouldn't get it brought undercover quick enough, and I would run out. I'd have to go outside, get some more. It might have just rained. I would have to burn wet and green wood sometimes. And I would put a pile of it in there, and I learned how to do it where it would work. But it was a challenge because I'd have to put some green wood and I'd have to put some wet wood in there. But then I'd have to make sure that I put plenty of good, dry burning wood in there for it to be able to burn good. And I also have a torch. You hook it onto a propane bottle and turn a little nozzle and it really shoots out. But what I would notice is that I would have all this wet wood or some green and wet wood, and it would just kind of sputter and smolder, and it really wouldn't do much of anything by itself. I'd put some sort of a hot burning log in there with something that was really good, maybe even a log of pine, and the whole pile, it would cause that whole pile to just roar up. I can take the torch and do the same thing. That pile would just be sputtering and smoldering because it would be wet. It'd be trying to overcome the moisture in the wood. And I would put that torch in there and turn it up a little bit. And it looked like the whole pile was just roaring and on fire. It looked like, but I would take it away and it might burn for a little bit and then it would die down. I want to tell you that the Lord wants each one of us to have a raging fire inside of us. And He wants it to be so that it's not dependent on the person that we're around. It is okay for us to, and we want to have a mentor, and we want to be a mentor for other people. We want to be in the place where we can help other people, and we want other people to. I suggest that everybody have, especially young people, and I have them, mentor people that I surround myself with that I can say, hey, brother, sister, will you tell me, what's your advice here? What should I do here? Don't let that take the place of prayer, but surround yourself with those kind of people. But did you know that every one of us is going to have to stand on our own feet, so to speak? And we're going to have a fire inside of our bosom if we're going to do anything for the Lord. Lord help me. I think sometimes we get so dependent on someone else. And when we're at camp meeting or we're in a camp meeting atmosphere, and it's real easy. It's easy for us to raise our hand here, and it's easy for us to testify here, and it's easy for us to get all just all worked up and say, I want to follow the Lord. I want to wholly follow the Lord. But then when we get home and we go back to our own families, our own houses, our own congregations, and then we tend to die down. You know, I was just thinking. I want to give us a little bit of a challenge. I appreciate the people that God has called to be ministers and to preach and to teach, to be missionaries. You know that a great part of our ministers are in their 50s and 60s. I just want to leave that with you. The Lord wants to do great things for His people. I want you to look about 20, 30 years in the future. What do you think the landscape will look like? The spiritual landscape will look like here in 20 or 30 years. I hope we'll still be having Monarch. I hope that there will still be plenty of that it'll look like this, although I hope we have to add on to the building a few times. Maybe put in some more altar benches. Maybe a bigger speaker system, because it's too big for us to be adequate and all that. But do you wait? Do you just burn when you're close to someone else that's burning hot? All the people served the Lord. The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that He did for Israel. Joshua he made such a great impression that they served the Lord all the days of him, but then he was able in some way to impart to the other elders that were with him the importance of serving the Lord, and he was able to communicate it to them and pass it on to them. And so when he died, if you want to look at it this way, when his log got burned up in the fire, that fire kept right on burning. And it burned, but then the other logs in the fire, the other elders, they died. Then it said also that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel. What happened? Why did it not say? You see, this is supposed to be a chain where the Lord uses people. He said, you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. You and I are supposed to carry that fire in our bosom. And we are supposed to impart it to those around us and kindle it within them. We don't have anything of ourselves to give them, but we point them to Jesus Christ. And we want to have the power of God in our lives where people can look at it and see and say, I want some of that. It's a whole lot better than what I have right now. My life doesn't work very well. I can't live free from sin. I want some of what this person has. And then they go seek the Lord. The Lord gives that to them. And Lord, help us that we will be able to make an impression on the people that we are around, whether it's our children, our spouse, our community, our friends, the people that we do business with. I had the great privilege of calling the man that passed away last night, Uncle. I had the great privilege of calling him my uncle. He's the last of a long list of people that I have seen in these benches that have been a great inspiration and a solid pillar for me. And I look at lives like that and say, I want that, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to get there. I want to be as solid as He was. I want to be as gentle and as mild-mannered as He was. I want to be as wise as He was. I'm not all of those things now, but I want to be that. That's what I'm working toward. This is what Joshua, he had so much of the power of God in his life, and he conquered all of his land. Caleb conquered all of his land, but I want to read, you know, it doesn't really say a whole lot in this verse in Judges 2. It said, the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, they all served the Lord too, but the generation after them didn't. Now, in the first chapter of Judges, it says, in the 17th verse, Judah went with Simeon his brother, and they slew the Canaanites that inhabited Zephath and utterly destroyed it. And the name of the city was called Hormah. And Judah took Gaza with the coast thereof, and Ascalon with the coast thereof, and Ekron with the coast thereof. And the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. What? What do you think the Lord's chariots were made of? Well, we'll come back to that. And the children, it's the 21st verse, and the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. In the 28th verse, and it came to pass when Israel was strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Nahalol, but the Canaanites dwelt among them and became tributaries. The 34th verse. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountain, for they would not suffer them to come down in the valley. Come down to the valley. Remember the verse that I read, Exodus 33? I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. The Lord had complete victory available for them. He said, I will drive out the Amorite. The Amorites forced the children of Dan down into the mountain, for they would not suffer them to come down to the valley. Can you imagine what kind of restrictions were placed on the children of Israel? Restrictions that they never would have had to operate under had they only wholly followed the Lord like Caleb and Joshua did. What do you think that... I'm just trying to picture. I don't have a real good map in my head of all this, but they're forced up into the mountain. Maybe they want to export some of their rock quarry products and some gemstones and maybe some cedar that grew up there down to the seaports. But the Amorites lived in the valley, wouldn't let them go. So they'd have, I'm speculating here, they'd have to build a road all the way around the whole country of the Amorites to get to the sea. That adds overhead, which means that they can't make as much of a profit. They might lose some of the materials. You see what I'm saying? The potential was not realized. The Lord made all this available to them, said that they would not suffer them to come down to the valley. They had a lot of things that they could have done, but they did not. They were not able to do it. It said that the people of Judah had some victories. They conquered some people, but then there were some other people over here that had chariots of iron. They weren't able to drive them out. Folks, I want to tell you that there have been people all down through history, kings, other people. You can read about kings that said he served the Lord with a perfect heart. This person served the Lord also, but not with a perfect heart. We can go halfway, and I really don't know. I'm not God, and I don't know what the Lord is going to say at the judgment for every one of you. I can't look inside each one of your lives and say, yeah, you know what? You're going to make it. We heard this morning about just barely living so that I want to live so I can make it to heaven. Heaven holds all to me, so as long as I can get in them pearly gates before they slam behind me, that's good enough for me, and I really don't care about the rest. Folks, I want to tell you that God has victories for His people today. He has power for us. He has healings for us. He has deliverance for us. But it depends. It's all contingent upon how much we have followed the Lord. You know, Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life will lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Just a few chapters after that, John 15, some of the most beautiful words in the New Testament. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I am him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. John 15 and 8 says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Beautiful verses. And we can look at them, we can say, oh, I want that. I just want to abide in Jesus. And we can get caught up and say, you know, this is good, and I want all these benefits. I want the good land. I want the Canaan, and I want the vineyards, and I want the, and I want my, you know, you're not going to get the vineyards without the enemies being driven out, all right? I wonder how much that the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and all those people, I wonder how many natural resources that they held on to that the children of Israel were never able to have for themselves. And sometimes we go through life, so often we go through life and we say, I've struggled with this for years. I can't get over it. My grandpa was this way. My daddy was this way. It's hereditary, I guess. I'm going to be this way too. There's nothing. I want to tell you that we heard last night about how the Lord wants to restore some things. And He wants to restore years of maybe damage, emotional damage. He wants us to be able to pass something down to the next generation. And not just live, yeah, I'm saved and I'm living for the Lord. But I want to be able to have a fire that's kindled to where my children will have it too. And I want it to kindle so strong in them that their children will have it too. And I want the fire here to burn so hotly when we come together that spirits will be shaken loose from people. We have some chariots of iron here, don't we? We have things that are very difficult. This generation is facing things that even I, when I was a child, didn't face in the same capacity. I didn't have a smartphone when I was 15. This is one of the most powerful things in the world. And it can get such a hold on you. It can be a big time waster. It can suck all of the power out of your life. And it's going to rob, if you don't have the power of God in your life, it's going to rob you of everything you may have or want to have. We read the verses, if you keep my commandments, or we read the verses, if you abide in me, and we think, oh, I want to abide in the Lord. That sounds so good. I'm abiding, we sing the song, I'm abiding in Jesus. But to bring forth that fruit like that, we have to die. I thought about a seed, and we can take a seed and we can paint it. Some of those seeds look pretty neat. Think about the buckeye seed. They're real shiny and everything. But I can take one of those and I can put it up on a shelf. And I could say, look how nice this is. And that's all it'll ever do, is just look nice. But if it falls into the ground and undergoes that process of decomposition, that's the only way it's going to bring forth the fruit and be able to abide like Jesus was talking about. The abiding in Jesus sounds real good, doesn't it? But the falling into the ground and dying doesn't always sound so good. We want to be right, don't we? We get in a discussion, an argument with somebody, and we want to have the last word. We don't want to look dumb. We don't want to look like... And we do all kinds of things to cover for ourselves where we can. We want to look spiritual. We want to look like we have lots of faith. And maybe a lot of us do. I would encourage you to wholly follow the Lord, like Caleb and Joshua. I want to read about a king named Amaziah. Second Chronicles 25th chapter, in the second verse. He was one of those kings that it said he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with perfect heart. You know, there was a time when Amaziah went down to a battle with the Edomites. And the Lord helped him to have a victory over them. He had the victory. You know what he did? He took the idols of the Amorites and he brought them back and served him. You know that if we endeavor to serve the Lord but not with a perfect heart, even the accomplishments and the victories that we may have can be a snare to us? Let me explain what I mean. If we don't have a guard and say, Lord, I want... We heard this morning, I'm all about your kingdom, Lord. Heaven holds all to me, but Lord, your kingdom holds all to me. Lord, I want to be a servant for you no matter what the cost. I want to do anything that you want me to do. I believe that many times the Lord wants to entrust us with things. He wants us... We pray for something. We pray for a miracle. We pray for a victory. We pray for a deliverance. And then sometimes when we get something, we get lifted up about it in our hearts. I know, I've done it. The Lord wants us, He wants to be able to entrust us. I want to give you a verse. I'm not going to turn to it. It says, Jesus Christ yesterday, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. I want you to think about the things that Jesus did. Jesus cast out demons. Jesus healed the sick. Jesus did many mighty works. He said, the things that I do, you too will do. And greater works than these will you do. We know that the greatest work ever by God is the work in the human heart. It is very popular teaching in the world today that you cannot live free from sin. We are greatly in the minority for our teaching on that. Do you know that? We teach that you can be raised up by the power of the Father and walk in newness of life, where we do not serve sin. We are modern day Israel, and all of the promises that the Lord gave to Israel for their conquest of the land of Canaan are available to us in a spiritual sense. But because Israel did not wholly follow the Lord, there were giants that they never could drive out. There was territory that they never could conquer. There were resources that could never be made available to them. Every place that the sole of their foot trod was not theirs. Well, maybe in a sense, because there are places their foot couldn't trod because the enemy wouldn't let them go there. But they needed to go places, and they couldn't do it. I want to tell you that without wholly following the Lord, our teaching that you can live a life free from sin means nothing. You cannot live free from sin without wholly following the Lord. Not for any great length of time. The giants will be too strong for you. Some of them have chariots of iron. They form bonds that you cannot break free from. The Lord has power, great power. It should be. The power of the Lord should, every Christian should regularly see the power of the Lord in their life. All right? I'm not saying that the Lord's going to say, Lord, I don't have enough food for today. I wish you'd fill my fridge up. But the Lord is going to, He has giants to cast out for you. And there are physical things that He will do for you. We have a long list in our past and a lot in our present of miracles. And we come here and we see testimonies. But may I be so bold as to say that I think we could see a lot more? The Lord isn't any less powerful than He was 2,000 years ago. The Lord hasn't lost His desire to do the things that He did 2,000 years ago. The victories that were available and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit that were available in the first century, I believe we can still see. There were things that were peculiar to that time because of the circumstances and the situation, but the power of the Holy Spirit is not diminished. Tonight, if you want to see greater power in your life, I'd check how closely you're following the Lord. Lord, is there anything that you'd like to talk to me about? You might need to get quiet and listen, like Samuel did. I think sometimes we can say, well, the Lord didn't show me this, so I'm not going to worry about it until He does. Have you given Him a chance to speak to you about it? Have you been still and gotten quiet and saying, speak, Lord? Because sometimes the Lord's not going to speak because He would have to compete with too many other things that we have in our hearts. You pray for me.